going for 16 straight.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The board of this country's central bank meets again this week. The past 15 times the Federal Reserve folks have gotten together, guess what they've done? Raise short-term interest rates. And chances are they're going to do it again, another quarter point. What everybody's wondering, is this finally the end of the streak, or are the pressures of inflation too strong to stop now? Let's shake the magic eight ball and find out. Check back later. Great. Despite the worries about interest rates, Wall Street is awash in good news lately. Companies are making a lot of money these days, and more of those rosy earnings reports come out this week. Bob Moon has more.
Corporate earnings are on track to rise almost 14% over a year ago, according to Thomson Financial. The tracking firm has now chalked up 11 straight quarters in which corporate profits grew by double digits. At Jefferies & Company, Chief Market Strategist Art Hogan says that's especially remarkable now.
It's amazing that corporate America has been able to plow through the headwinds we've been facing. Rising interest rate environment, certainly, and rising energy prices.
Hogan notes those big companies reporting their opening quarter profits so far have mostly exceeded or at least matched Wall Street expectations.
We really like to listen to the guidance for the next quarter to see what corporate America thinks about the future here. And there wasn't any clear case where we got a lot of household names letting us know that they needed to take down their estimates.
The rise in profits is thanks largely to sustained consumer spending. Analysts say the big question now is how long businesses and consumers can withstand mounting energy costs. In New York, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Just a few minutes ago, we got a ruling on that big Apple versus Apple case in London. A judge said Apple Computer is not guilty of trademark infringement against Apple, the music company owned by the Beatles. The record label had argued that Steve Jobs and company violated a 1991 agreement by selling music through its iTunes online store. So this means the computer firm can keep on using the Apple logo on iTunes. Neil Young keeps on rocking in the free world. His latest CD goes on sale tomorrow. It's a collection of protest songs. The album is being rushed into stores. Jeff Tyler explains why.
Neil Young wrote, recorded, and produced his new album within 3 weeks. Then the sexagenarian hippie started giving away his songs for free on the internet.
He doesn't want to sit around and wait for a suit to say, well, you know, we got to set up the marketing.
That's Rolling Stone's senior editor David Frick.
He's been willing to invest his time, certainly his money and energy, and willing to even possibly cannibalize album sales in order to put it on the internet because he wants people to hear it.
KLOS in Los Angeles, one of the country's largest rock stations, played the entire album commercial-free twice. That put pressure on marketing execs at Warner Brothers. They rushed the new CD to retailers in order to capitalize on the free publicity and profit off the protest. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
The Dow is at a new 6-year high with 5 straight weeks of gains. Friday, the index shot up more than a percent, 138 points to 11,577. The S&P 500 also gained a percent, 13 points to 1325. The NASDAQ climbed 18. You're listening to Marketplace. The folks who run the Smithsonian meet today to decide whether to give cable channel Showtime access to the museum's archives. Showtime wants to produce some documentaries with the material. More now from Ashley Milne-Tite.
The deal could bring in a lot of money for the Smithsonian. No one knows how much because the institution is closely guarding the details of the contract. Aaron Barnhart is the TV critic for the Kansas City Star. He says Showtime sees the deal as a way to outshine the competition.
Showtime is in this eternal struggle to break out of the shadow of HBO. And they know now that they're not going to do it by being HBO-like. They're going to have to forge an identity of their own.
He says broadcasting high-end arts content could draw in high-end viewers the channel mostly lacks. The contract calls for Showtime to produce Smithsonian-themed content viewers can access on demand. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to making America energy independent through increased use of public transportation. On the web at publictransportation.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Friday, the New York Stock Exchange, which is now publicly traded, made a second stock offering. It raised more money than the whole exchange was worth just a year ago. Newsweek's Alan Sloan joins us now. Alan, I guess going public turned out to be a pretty smart move, huh?
Yes, I think we call that market timing.
Why?
Because in early 2005, the whole New York Stock Exchange market was valued at a little over $1 billion because a seat changed hands at $975,000. As of the end of that stock offering, the stock that was sold, the stock the seat holders still had, was worth roughly $5.5 million. So you had a 5.5-to-1 return in roughly 16 months if you held on to your seat instead of selling it.
What has happened to drive up the value of the New York Stock Exchange?
I think a lot of it is actually perception as opposed to reality. Back last year, people were saying the exchange is doomed. There was the whole fallout from the whole Grasso scandal. There were all of these problems. And the business of the stock exchange did not look especially promising. So the value of seats was depressed. But stockholder-owned stock exchanges have been very hot stocks the last year or so. And the what used to be Archipelago and is now the New York Stock Exchange, the NYSE group, has been exceptionally hot. So the people who got in return for their seats have made an awful lot of money.
The NASDAQ has been positioning itself to perhaps try and buy the London Stock Exchange. The NYSE getting more powerful could also do something like that. Do you think we're headed for some kind of consolidation worldwide in exchanges?
I mean, that's clearly happening. And by the way, the reason the NASDAQ can do this is it also has publicly traded stock that was down for a very long time, but it ran up about the time of the Archipelago deal and has kept on running. So both the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ market, or whatever it's called these days, have currency. They have stock they can use to buy other exchanges.
And for the average investor, having the exchange go public means what?
I don't think it really makes any noticeable difference. I don't see where it's to anyone's benefit other than the seat holders to have had it go public. The story that they told at the time was this would make markets better and things would be more efficient and yada, yada, yada. I have no idea if that's true. What I do know is the seat holders, the former seat holders on the New York Stock Exchange, have really been rescued from a bad situation. It's turned into a good situation. And what, if anything, that means to you and me, I don't know. But at least for me, it makes for a good story.
All right, Alan, thanks a lot.
Take care, Scott.
Alan Sloan from Newsweek in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow.
American Public Media.
We've all heard the romantic stories.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.